heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and our thoughts are lifted heavenward. Righteous Father, your people come before you today. We come with thanksgiving, but we also come with cares. We come expecting to leave here better than we came. So, Lord, we ask now that as you speak to us, that all distractions will be turned off. Lord, we invite your spirit to move in this place. It's in your name we pray. Amen. It's a great day in the house of the Lord. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It is a great day in the house of the Lord. Even if you are affected by the recent, I can say recent now, by the recent shutdown, it's a great day in the house of the Lord. Today is the Sabbath, and it's the day that we are commanded to lay aside all cares, all concerns, whatever is troubling you, whatever almost caused you not to make it here today. Lay it aside and focus on Jesus, because he has something great in store for you. As a boy growing up, I love Sabbath. And one of the reasons why I love Sabbath is it was a day that I get to put on my best and come to the house of the Lord. You see, I had two suits. One was a suit, and one was a good suit. On regular Sabbath, I would wear my suit to church. But on special Sabbaths, I would wear my good suit. And I mean, my good suit was literally my Sabbath best in every sense of the word. Community guest day, my good suit. Youth day, my good suit. Christmas, my good suit. Easter, my good suit. And on communion, my good suit. And occasionally, they would ask me to preach. And when they asked me to preach, I would take my good suit to the cleaners and make sure that my good suit was even gooder. Yeah, you think that was not a word? I made it a word. There was just something about that good suit. When I put it on, it gave me confidence. I'm glad to be speaking here today. I want to thank Pastor Fleming and Pastor Chetty for the invitation. I figure if Pastor Chetty's in my country, then the least I can do is fill in the gap, right? That's all right. And if I had to give today's message a title, I will entitle it Inappropriate Garments. Inappropriate Garments. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew that we read for our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 22. This time I'll begin reading from verse 8. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say, oh me. It's all right. You will get there. Verse 8 begins, then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding garment or wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in without wedding clothes, my friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. I'm going to admit that the first time I read this passage, it didn't make sense to me. It didn't seem fair. It seemed to me like here is a man desperately in need of people to attend his feast. And one man, because he was not wearing some special kind of clothes, you're going to punish him? Did you forget that you invited your friends and your friends turned you down? Wasn't this man doing the king a favor? Anyone here feel sometimes like you're doing God a favor? You take time out of your busy schedule and you come to church and people are going to tell you that you need to be there at a certain time. And some folk has the audacity to tell you what to wear and what to eat. Does it make sense? Don't they understand that I could be having fun? I could be taking care of my own affairs? Do I have to sit here and take this? It seemed as if the man was doing the king a favor. But after I observe the text just a little bit more, it brings me back to an incident that happened many years when I was still younger. I told you about my good suit. I had just finished a one-year certification in refrigeration and air conditioning. And now I needed a job. I picked up the phone and I saw a place called Jerry's Refrigeration advertising a job. So I called Jerry's Refrigeration. 792-355-3535. Was the phone number. I remember it. And the man on the line answered. I said, my name is, and I told him my name, and I told him how good I was. I just graduated with a one-year certification. I know everything about refrigeration and air conditioning. I am fully experienced. You will never find a better technician than you can find in me. And he listened. And he said, come on down and let me look at you. When he said that, my understanding was he wanted to talk with me. He wanted to interview me. But when I got there, the man literally wanted to look at me. And he looked. And he looked up and down. But before I got there, I remember my grandmother said, when you're going to look for a job, you need to wear your best. So I put on my good suit. And I put on my good shoes. I even polished my shoes that morning. And he looked at me, and I was convinced that my dress alone, he would give me the position. And he looked at me from head to toe, and he said, I'll never forget the words, you are not dressed for the position. He said, 1 year, no experience, and you come here dressed up as if you cannot get your hands dirty. I can't use you. Oh, my little feelings was so hurt. I walked back to the bus stop, all defeated. What did I do wrong? How dare him tell me that my good suit was not good enough? And then I get it. You see, a lot of times we believe that what we know is enough to get us through life. At times we believe that the way I think something ought to be is the way that it ought to be. Sometimes we don't understand that there is information that we don't have that is necessary to get us to the next level. You see, I went and I talked to my teacher instructor who taught me air conditioning. And I said, look, I went and the guy didn't like me. He said, if you're going to do rough work, you got to demonstrate that you're prepared for that. You can't look too refined. And I got it. The man in the scripture, the Bible said that he did not have on a wedding garment. So let's parse this and see what the Bible is telling us. Usually when you're inspecting a parable, the clue to understanding the parable is usually right there at the front. So Jesus began this parable at the beginning, at verse 1. He said the kingdom in verse 2 of heaven is likened to. So this passage, this parable is talking about heaven. The passage is talking about heaven. And the first thing that we need to understand about getting to heaven is that we must have an invitation. We don't get to the kingdom of God without an invitation. You see, it is very important for us to understand that there is nothing more important than the kingdom of God. You see, we can't just show up to the governor's mansion and demand to see the governor. We can't just show up to the White House and demand to see the president. And trust me, there are some pastors that you can't just show up and expect to see them. On earth here, something takes invitation. So if we are going to get to the throne of God, the King of Kings, the one who created us, we must understand that we need an invitation. So this passage is teaching us that the first thing we must know, that it takes an invitation for us to get to heaven. The next thing I want us to understand is that those who accept the invitation, let me fix that, only those who accept the invitation from Jesus Christ will enjoy the pleasure of heaven. If you reject the invitation, you will not make it to the kingdom. Did I put that bluntly enough? There is no getting to the kingdom without accepting the invitation of Jesus Christ. And the third thing I want us to understand, and praise God for this, because this is where mercy comes in. We serve a merciful God that even when we reject his invitation, he will re-extend it to us. I praise God for that. But don't get too comfortable on this one, because the truth is, if we keep rejecting God's invitation, pretty soon we will get to the place where we are no longer able to hear him calling us. And as a result of that, we will be de-invited to the kingdom of heaven. So now we can talk. We have here a king who extended an invitation. And when he extended the invitation, the folks said, "We can't make it. We're not coming." They turned it down. The king in this passage is none other than Jesus Christ himself, extending an invitation for us to make it to the kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus extends the invitation, many of us are rejecting the invitation. And so Jesus re-extends the invitation. And the Bible says that after those who were invited first rejected the invitation, the king said, "Go and invite just about anyone you can find." The first message of the gospel was entrusted to the Jews. At the stoning of Stephen, they made their final rejection as a nation of rejecting, to accept the gospel. And Jesus said, "Go out to everyone whosoever will accept this message of salvation, you will be in the kingdom." But what about the wedding garment? What about the wedding garment? This man accepted the invitation to come to the wedding, but he still was having a problem. And this is where our salvation becomes very crucial. This is where, saints of God, we must pay attention, because the man was at the feast, but he wasn't wearing the garment. What's up with that? Now, the garment, what is the wedding garment? The truth is, we know that the wedding garment was required. You see, when we come to Jesus Christ, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Can I say that again? When we come to Jesus Christ, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. No other garment will do for the Christian than the righteousness of Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 15 that we must keep wearing the garment, the righteousness of Christ, lest we walk naked and we are exposed in the most disgraceful manner there is. So the truth is, every child of God must wear the righteousness of Christ. Now, there are many of us who choose to wear something else other than the righteousness of Christ. And those who are wearing something other than the righteousness of Christ is represented by the man in our passage. He was not wearing the wedding garment, but couldn't the king give him just a chance because he was there in the room? He accepted the invitation. Couldn't the king just go easy on him? The truth is, saints, nothing can substitute the righteousness of God. Absolutely nothing can substitute the righteousness of God. And many times we try to substitute it, you know, by good works. You know, maybe if I pray a little longer, maybe if I can imply many titles to God, God of love and mercy and Jacob and Isaac and Jonah, and if I can just sing a little louder, if I can just say my amen a little louder, maybe that is enough for me to make it to the kingdom of God. The Bible said, oh no, there is nothing that can substitute for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing. The man in the parable was wearing a garment and he was spotted very easily. Did you catch this? He was spotted as soon as the king walked in. He noticed that the man was not wearing the wedding garment. That tells me that those who are not clothed in the righteousness of Christ is spotted very easily. It doesn't matter how loud I sing. It doesn't matter how well I preach. There is something that the Bible tells me that illustrate that I have the righteousness of Christ covering me, and that is the love of Jesus Christ in my heart. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you love one another. It is important for us to understand that Christ expects us to be clothed in his righteousness. But the thing that caught my attention is this. When the king asked the man, why aren't you wearing a wedding garment? The man was speechless. Why was he speechless? He knew he was supposed to be wearing the wedding garment. My Lord, is this talking about me? He knew that he was supposed to be wearing the wedding garment. Not only that, the wedding garment was given to him. Everyone who came to the wedding feast was handed a wedding garment. Why was he not wearing the wedding garment? Well, maybe it was not comfortable enough. You know, sometimes as Christians, we are called to do things that pull us out of our comfort zone. I remember when I was a kid growing up, we used to do a thing called harvest and gathering. I did not like doing harvest and gathering. I still don't like doing harvest and gathering. And I remember as pathfinders, we would walk and we would knock on doors and we would go up to people. And I disliked every second of it. But when I remember Pastor Samuel Lewin, he took the time to explain the importance of harvest and gathering, and I was going uncomfortably, but I was going. I was uncomfortable, but I was going. And it got to a point where the benefits outweighed the discomfort. I want us to understand, saints of God, that there are going to be times when you are asked to do things that pulls you outside your comfort zone. There are going to be times when there is somebody that you really don't care for. That person who have been driving you nuts at work, you still got to tell them that Jesus loved them. Because the truth is, there is nobody in that person's sphere but you who can tell them about the Word of God. Yes, there are going to be times when you will have to turn the other cheek, even though you feel like extending the right hand, and that's not the right hand of fellowship. Oh, yes, there are going to be times when we have to step out and do things, not because we want to do it, but because we know that it pleases Jesus Christ, our Savior. There are going to be times when we will have to move out there in faith, even though we are afraid, and believe that Jesus Christ will cover us. Another reason the man probably was not wearing the wedding garment, he probably was just plain old rebellious. There are some times we just rebellious. I remember I was at work and the president of the company, she asked me to do something, and I looked at it and I just didn't want to do it. I don't know why I didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to do it. So guess what? I just didn't do it. You know, I just didn't feel like doing it, so I just didn't do it. And weeks pass and didn't do it, and months pass, and she called me and she says, "Stephen, did you take care of that for me?" I go, "No." She said, "Why not?" And I was speechless. And she said, "Stephen, I will not be able to pay you if you don't take care of those papers." And I got the message. I said, I'd have it done today. There are times that there are things that God has asked us to do that we just don't want to do. Some of us are just naturally rebellious. We just find a reason to argue what the Bible say. We don't have a good reason, but at least we have some kind of reason. And then there are others of us, it's just too much trouble. You know, "Yes, Lord, I know that you asked me to do this, but it's just too much trouble waking up at 5 a.m. to pray. It's just too much trouble coming out a night in the week to pray a meeting. It's just too much trouble doing this. It's just too much trouble doing that. And by the way, what difference does it make anyway?" And this is where the rubber meets the road. What difference does it make if I obey what the Word of God say? What difference does it make if I wear my own righteousness in exchange of Christ's righteousness? Well, let me tell you, the difference it makes is that the man in our scripture, he was taken into utter darkness. He was punished the most severe way that one can be punished. It's the same when we fail to understand that what God say makes a difference. I might not be able to explain all the ins and outs of why the seventh day is the Sabbath, but I can explain that it really is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. I might not be able to tell you why didn't God choose the third day or the first day, but I can tell you he did choose the seventh day. And the difference that it makes is that if I obey him, I am obedient and I'm choosing to put on his robe of righteousness. But if I disobey him and do what I feel is right, then I am wearing my own righteousness. And let me tell you something, saints of God, your righteousness is like filthy rags according to the Bible. Your best, at your best, we just don't cut it. We just don't cut it at our best. And I'll tell you, because when we choose to disobey God and do what we feel is right, or what we feel should be acceptable, then here's what happened. It happens naturally. We're naturally in darkness. If you're not wearing the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you are naturally in darkness. You see, sin causes us needless pains, and sin will bring us shame, and sin will reduce us to nothing. We will be brought to that place where we feel all alone and we don't know why. But Jesus Christ is saying to us today, you are invited to the feast, and I am preparing for you a wedding garment that you can continue to wear. You don't have to wear your own clothes. Somebody say you got to fake it until you make it. Let me tell you something, saints of God, there's nothing to fake. There's only something to accept. We don't got to fake anything. We can be real with Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am feeling weak today. I don't feel like worshiping today. But Lord, can you just give me some extra strength so I can do it? And he will have mercy on us. Oh Lord, I don't like Pastor Isaac. But if you cannot make him lovable, can you just make me love him? Lord, I don't like the music at my church, but if you cannot change the music, can you just change my taste? Lord, if you cannot work on the people that are getting on my nerves, can you just work on me? Because I promise you, if you just allow God to work on you, every time that God touch you, it's another piece of his righteousness is covering you. And God touch your head and you're covered from head. And he touch your heart, your heart is covered. He touch your body is covered. And before you know it, you're walking in his righteousness. God wants to close you in your righteousness, in his righteousness. But he's asking us to take off our own clothes. I know it looks good on you. Lord have mercy. You look in the mirror and you look good. You don't think there's anything that needs changing. But Jesus is saying, put this on. Put this on. Because if somebody told you that hypocrisy looked good on you, they lied to you. If somebody tell you that that stealing look good on you, they lied to you. If somebody tell you that laziness look good on you, they lied to you. We were created in God's image, and the only garment that is a designer fit for us is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what it looked like over there, just try it on. Because God is ready to take you to places that you have never been. Last thing I want to say is that the folks who were at the wedding feast, they did not get the initial invitation. They did not get the initial invitation, but God did not stop thinking about them. Sometimes we are at a place and we see others moving forward. They're walking in their blessing, and you're wondering, what next? Why not me? How come I don't have my house yet? How come I don't have my dream car yet? How come it's not my children graduating from college? How come it's not me? I want to leave you with this, saints of God, that God has a plan for you. I said, God has a plan for you, because there's a robe of righteousness built by Jesus Christ with your name on it, and Jesus Christ will extend the invitation for you to come to that place where you can put on that righteousness and you can shine in all of his glory. Today, you are in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he knows why you came here today. He knows what you went through to get here today. Oh, I'm not naive enough to believe that everybody just got up this morning and it was just an easy walk out the house and get into the church. Oh, some of us, we struggle to get out of bed. I know it. I see people every day who said, Doc, you just don't know what I went through to get up this morning. The struggle is real. But my God is real. I said, my God is real, saints. My God is real. He can do anything for you. Today I want to extend an invitation to somebody. Somebody who just want to say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be wearing your righteousness, but I'm not wearing it. I'm wearing mine. But Lord, I want to exchange my righteousness for yours. The invitation is yours, not from the pastor, but from Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is extending an invitation to somebody here today. If you want to say, Lord, give me your righteousness, just raise your hand right where you are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stand with your hand, please. And those of us who are, as we stand, there might be somebody here who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Never. If you're here, while you're standing, I want you to raise that hand. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. God bless you, my brother. Is there another one? God bless you. God bless you. If you would just come on down here. I want to pray with you. Come on down here, my brother. I want to pray with you. My sister, come on down. I want to pray with you. If your hands is raised, I want to pray with somebody. Pastor Fleming, join me down here. Jesus Christ want to do something special in your life today. God bless you. God bless you. Is there another person here before we close? I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And today I just want to take his robe of righteousness, exchange it for my life. I promise you, your life will never be the same after today. That's a promise I'm guaranteeing. Is there one more before the pastor pray? All right, our heads are bowed. God bless you, my sister. Come on down. Come on down. Is there another hand over there? If your hand was up, come on over. Let's pray with you. All right, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Come on, my brother. Come on. Come on, praise the Lord. You all don't realize what just happened. Praise God. God bless you. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray.
It's about eyes are closed and the hearts are lifted heavenward. Father, this morning we have heard thy call. And our hearts are filled with joy. As we look at ourselves, we see that we are in need of you. And we ask, dear Father, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. Cover us with your robe of righteousness and present us to your Father as one that has accepted your blood. This morning, two individuals, two young men have decided to accept you as their Lord and your Savior. Lord, we ask that you will come divinely close to them. And as they make that decision, empower them to keep making that decision and to surrendering their life to you on a daily basis. Cover them. May angels come divinely close around and about them, protecting them. And as they stand firm on their decision, strengthen them as they move forward. As they surrender their hearts to you, take it, mold it and fashion it, and take them by the hand and guide them. Bless them. Be with them. Be with all of us as we continue to serve you, as we continue to look for that appearance of your second coming. Keep us faithful until that day is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.